What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. As we've already said, I'm just thankful to see each and every one of you. Glad you were able to make it, Sister Leanne. See you here and get the trip timing down. And just thankful for, again, each and every one of you that's here. And please pray for me as I stand before you this afternoon. Been begging the Lord as we were singing the hymns that He would just guide me as far as where I need to be in the Scripture. And there are times that we feel a very clear direction from the Lord and just feel like that's the place that we need to be. There are other times that we even begin to speak to the Lord's people without seemingly knowing exactly where we're going. And this afternoon seems to be like one of those times for me. It's not that we never study as much as we ought to, but it's not that I haven't made an effort to study the Word of God. That's been a great blessing to be able to have the time that I, in my younger years, I didn't have nearly as much time. But I do regret in many ways those good years of that I could have been using better. And but you can't fix what used to be. You can only do with what you have. And what we have now is just a great blessing of the Lord. And this is the day the Lord has made, and every day is like that. And sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we can only live life one day at a time without taking too much thought for the past or worrying too much about the future. Try to live each day the very best. But if I can say anything to any of God's children, as much as you can, redeem the time by studying the Word of God, by searching God's Word and feeding upon His Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And in this dark world, we surely need it. We need the direction. We need the encouragement. We need it as a foundation. It's the truth that we build our lives upon. And the house that's built upon that solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ, that house will stand when the storms of life hit us. And Brother John made it very plain today in his preaching that it's not if the storms, it's when the storms. It's not if the trials come and the problems come, it's when they come. And that is absolutely the truth. That's told us again and again in the pages of God's Word. We have a rock in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those storms hit, our house will stand if it's built and are built upon a rock. Of course, we can't do that on our own. We can't do anything without the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. So we need the Lord today. If I'm going to be able to preach, I need the Lord. If you going to be able to hear preaching, or be any benefit to you, you'll need the Lord. And if that's the case, then we should go out today, if the Lord and when the Lord blesses us, we should go out thanking God for His goodness and His mercy to us. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me, I've got several places in mind, but I want to begin by reading in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We begin at verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I am so thankful that the Lord has brought us from a state of darkness, not only from the state of darkness, but even darkness itself, as he says in verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now that means we would have had no understanding about the things of God. We'd have no concern about them, no desire for them. If we heard them, we'd hear them and think that's foolishness. The wisdom of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the might of God, all of those things would be foolishness unto us unless the Lord had brought us from the dark state that we were in. The state we were in was really a state of death. Ephesians 2 and 1 tells us that, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And in times past we walked according to the course of the flesh, according to the will of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There is in us, that is, Paul said, in me, that is in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Not one good redeeming quality about us. We were sometimes darkness. He says, but now are ye light in the Lord. There's been a change, there's been a difference made in our lives. And because of that, we have a responsibility and a duty to walk pleasing unto the Lord in our lives. In chapter 3 of the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now that's a pretty clear description of where we were by nature. And he didn't say everybody else used to be that way. He says, we ourselves, that's all of us, all of those that are the Lord's people, all those that are his children that have been quickened and made alive. Before the Lord dealt with us, before we had a work of grace in our hearts, he says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers, that's different kinds of lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And he tells us that in order that we would not speak evil of any man. He tells that in verse 2. He tells us to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And that means as we're walking out here in this world, we should be mindful that though men may be going in all kinds of directions, that doesn't give us the right to act like they do in response to them. It doesn't give us the right to respond to them in the way that they are treating us. Sometimes we go, well, they're getting what they deserve, and they ask for it, you know. If you don't start anything, it won't be anything kind of attitude in life, you know. That's not the way God's children are to walk. Now, we are accustomed to that kind of walk in our natural life. Because when we were sometimes darkness, we didn't know any better. We didn't have any understanding. Now, we should have been better. That doesn't disqualify us in the sense of saying we just, you know, in ignorance, we couldn't do any better. No, man is guilty before Almighty God. Man has a responsibility to love God even though he will not love God and cannot love God because of his fallen condition, he has that responsibility. He has a responsibility to be appreciative and thankful to the Lord, though he will not acknowledge God. God is not in all his thoughts until the Lord awakens one and gives and works a work of grace in their hearts. In Titus, it tells us about that. He says, this is where we were, but he said in verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, if we're different from the world, and I hope and pray that we are, I hope it's not in any arrogant way or in a Pharisaical way. The Pharisees thought they were different. Remember, they looked down upon others and thought themselves to be good and were trying to be righteous before God by their own actions. That's not the kind of righteousness that we want to speak of. As a matter of fact, that kind of righteousness, the Bible says that kind of righteousness, man, righteousness is but as filthy rags. There's no good in that either. It's not just about doing good things in order to be seen to be good or to show others that you're good or to do it in an open setting so that others might see our good works. We're told to avoid that leaven of the Pharisees, which is, he said, hypocrisy. We as God's children can slip into that so easy. You see, it's not just about walking in the right way. It's about walking in the right way for the right reason. It's about doing what the Lord would have us to do for the right purpose. Not about glorifying ourselves or standing apart from the world just to be standing apart, but because of what the Lord has done for us. And that's based on us understanding that what we have is by grace. That's why the doctrines of grace are so important for God's little children to feed on. So that we have the proper foundation on which to work and to which to live our life in a way to honor and glorify God. I hope every one of us recognize today that if we have any good thing about us, it's because of the grace of God that He has done what He has done for us. That if I love the Lord today, it's because He first loved me. If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's because He's blessed me with faith and enabled me to believe. If I have any joy in my life, it's because it's a fruit of the Spirit. A work of grace has taken place in my life. And the Lord has been so good to me. That's one of the things we do when we come to church. We remember how good the Lord has been to us so that we can appreciate and be thankful for His goodness and His grace. And we can remember the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, that has appeared to us as men. He says here that ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. That means the Lord has given us something that we didn't have before. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, that's a work of grace. You've been born from above, born again, made alive. And you hath He quickened who were dead. And once you've been made alive, you have a responsibility to live your life in a way to honor and glorify God. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. That's what we labor. That's where we should be laboring today. Now, it's not a labor that we can do on our own. If we're trying to get it done on our own, we're going to fall short every time. We need grace in all of it. If we ever think, well, I can just do it and get myself in a position where God will say, okay, you can have fellowship with me because you've done this or that or some other thing, then I've labored outside of the grace of God. I have to recognize that if I'm going to be able to live my life in a way to please and glorify the Lord, I need God's grace to enable me to do that. The Scripture says it is He who both works in us the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. So that all the praise and all the glory belongs unto the Lord. Here he says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, Titus chapter 3, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We could read that over and over again, couldn't we? What is it by? How did the kindness and love of God appear towards us? Was it because we worked it out? Was it because we strive to enter in at the straight gate? Was it because of, and we're told to strive to enter in at the gate, straight gate. We're to enter not into the broad way. That is something that we're to do. Over in Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now some would say that's talking about how you get on the road to heaven, and how you get to heaven in immortal glory. Well, if that's the case, and we are to enter in, and it's by our efforts that we get there, and we're to make sure that we're on that road, and that's how we do that, and it's all by our works, then we'd have a conflict in the Scripture, because He just said, it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done. So it's not by works that we get here. And how is it that we can enter into that straight gate? Well, who is the way? Who is the one that gives us eyes to see the straight gate? Who's the one who gives us ears to be able to hear the teachings of God's Word? Who is the one that gives us a heart and a desire to follow after the Lord? Is it not the work of grace that happens first? The first thing that happens is the work of grace. And we who were sometimes darkness and would have never comprehended the light would have never meant anything to us. We've been made light in the Lord. And as He has worked that in us, He allows us to see and to know and to understand things that we could not see and know and understand before. And therefore we have a responsibility. Because much has been given to us, there is much required. Not required in order to get heaven and immortal glory. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but to walk pleasing to the God of heaven who has done so much for us. We can all sing with the hymn writer, "The Lord has been so good to me, I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me." And I think about that just for a little while. Has He not treated us like His dear little children? He loved us when we were in that unlovable state. He sent His only begotten Son here into this world to save us. He washed us in His own precious blood. He lifted us up from the dead state that we were in and put our feet on a rock and gave us a new song in our mouth, even praises unto God. Lifted us up from the dunghills of this earth and has brought us together even today in a place where we're meeting to worship the Lord. We're not here for any other reason today other than to worship the Lord. At least I hope and pray that's been our motive and our desire. And doing that, we also want to hear from His Word so that we might know how to live and how to act and how to behave. And we're taught here not to behave and act like the world. And that's so easy to read in the Bible, but so often it's so hard for us to practice in our lives. It's so hard to at times for me to not respond to folks when they act in the ways that the Scripture here calls. Here's what the Word of God says that we act like. He says, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures. Do you see that anywhere in this world? Living in malice and envy. Do you see that? You know, you're at a concert. Somebody wants to get somewhere in a concert and they trample over 14 people, injure and kill people. Just, you wonder how all that could happen. And sometimes we look at it and if I'm not careful, I could easily say, boy, those silly people, why do they act that way? You know who that could be right in that crowd? You know who that would have been right in that crowd? You know who could have been right in the forefront of that? Who could have been right in the mix of that? Not only could have been, but have been. As I look back on my life, I think of the silly things that I've done and the places that I've been, and if I'd have got what I deserved at that time. You know, sometimes we think, you ever thought that? Just said, I hope they get what they deserve. All, brethren, let us do better than that. Let us remember we're not to be, he says, we're not to speak evil of men. It's not because men aren't evil. It's because of where God has brought us. It's where He's done. Look what His mercy's done for us. He said to be no brawlers. Not to respond to them in the way that they would have, the old devil would like nothing better than for God's little children to act like the world and talk like the world and behave like the world. I'm saying to you from the Word of God that you were darkness, but you're no longer darkness. We're not supposed to behave that way. We're to act as the children of light. We're to walk in the Spirit because we've been born of the Spirit. We're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And yes, there's a conflict and a battle going on within us that we will always have some failure on our part because we cannot do the things that we should and that we would. I believe it's a Galatian letter that tells us that over in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I love how we keep the old flesh under control. You know, how can you keep the old flesh under control? Can you will it in place? Can you just say, "I'm going to do better"? I've thought how many times I've said, "I'm just going to do better." I've eaten something I'm not supposed to eat, and I say, "Well, I'll just do better. I can do better next time I'm doing the next thing." You know, the only way we can do anything pleasing to the Lord is by through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the Apostle Paul tells us. He tells us to fight our battles not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, and to put on the whole armor of God, and to walk in accord to His Word. Use His Word and the faith that He's given us to walk in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. And it's our duty and our responsibility to do that. We can't do it outside of grace. I'm not leaving grace. Matter of fact, I'm saying to you, without God's grace, we can't do it. But He tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verse 17 of that fifth chapter, He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other." You feel that battle in you? You ever feel that going on when you have the Spirit telling you what you ought to do and the old flesh wants to do something different? Well, be thankful for this. You have the battle. Because if you have the battle, that shows that you're something more than just total darkness. It shows that the Lord in His grace has touched your life and He's quickened you and He's made you alive. And there's a fight to fight. There's a battle to have. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to say, "Lord, help me to think like I'm supposed to think. I'll let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." He is my strength. And if I look to Him, I will have strength sufficient. And if I look to myself, if we look to ourselves, we will fall flat every time. And we know that in the Lord, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy." Oh, we're glad and thankful for His mercy. He saved us. Oh, He saved us, as we heard yesterday, to the uttermost. To the uttermost. He didn't save us just part of the way or just some of the way. He saved us all the way. When the Lord sent His only begotten Son into this world, He didn't come to try to save us. He came to save us. He shall save His people from their sins. When Jesus died on the cross, He knew every child that He was dying for. He knew every one of His children. They'd been given to Him in covenant. He knew them. He foreknew them before the very foundation of the world. And He loved them. And He died on the cross for them. And He paid the sin debt for them. And there in His own body, He took our individual sins. This is why you and I should hate sin so much. Because it was sin that nailed Him to the tree of the cross. It was sin that caused Him to be mocked and spit upon and ridiculed. It was our sins, and it was because of our sins that He died on the cross. And therefore, when we see sin in our life, we shouldn't look at it and say, "Well, Jesus paid for that, so I won't worry about that." We should remember what it cost our darling Savior and what judgment will fall upon those of the non-elect when God judges this world. There will be the wrath of God poured out upon those that have sinned against Him. And that would be us, dear ones, if it were not for what Jesus did for us in our room instead. And the reason He did it is because He loved us. And why did He love us? Because He wanted to. And I don't know how much farther I can go with that, other than a righteous and holy God saw fit to do it. And our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever He pleased. And He didn't start loving us because of something we did. And He won't stop loving us because of something we do. And that's good news for me today. I hope and pray it's good news for you. It also encourages me to want to do better, to want to study His Word more, to want to be more faithful in sharing it and in living it and in behaving and acting in a way that's pleasing unto the God of heaven who knows all things. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Sometimes we think, well, He doesn't really see that, or He doesn't see this. And you know, men might think that, and sometimes we act like we think that anyway. Even if we don't say it, we sometimes think, well, you know, the Lord, does it really matter to Him? I'm telling you, it's important for us to walk as God's little children in a way that's pleasing and honoring unto the Lord. He says, but by the washing of regeneration, He did that work for us, but then He comes in time and He washes us in regeneration. He makes us alive. He gives you a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things. If you have a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things, that's an evidence that you're a little child of grace. And the more you feed on that, the more you want. And the more you want, the more the Lord will give. And the more we pray and look to Him, if we ask Him and we seek Him and we knock, He says, ask and it shall be given, and seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that is, as we ask according to His will and seek Him for the good things that we stand in need of, and knock as the doors close in front of us, to knock that the Lord would open the doors that are supposed to be open, and He'd keep those doors that are shut. Do you ever have something that you thought, oh, I just got to have that, and the Lord said no to? You know, that's as sweet a prayer answered as any you might have in your life. The Lord gives us those things that He knows we stand in need of, and He gives them to us just at His appointed time and in just the way that we should receive them. He says, "Which He shed on us." What did He said? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. How could it be that the Holy Spirit would be dwelling in my heart because a Savior died for me at Calvary? How could it be that the Holy Spirit would lead me to be able to pray and offer a petition unto God that would be pleasing in His sight because Jesus died for me at Calvary? How could it be that such a thing as you and I could ever be with Him in heaven in immortal glory because Jesus died for us at Calvary? And how could it be that you and I could live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord? How could it be that I might be able to preach in a way that's pleasing unto God and beneficial to the Lord's people because Jesus died for us? And how could it be that we could walk as a church in a way that shines as a light here in this world? We reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. Not anything, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His grace and His mercy. He said that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That's really what I'm trying to talk about today, just what He says here. He just laid out the grace of God, that you are what you are by the grace of God. Not anything that you've done, but here's what's important for you as a little child of grace. He's called you out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light, that you might show forth the praises of Him who has done that for you. Do we have something to say about our Lord today in a way of praise? How great things He has done for us, each and every one of us. You just think about the home you were born in. Do you think that was just happenstance, just chance? The good mama or good daddy that the Lord blessed you to have. The church family that the Lord has allowed you to have. The land and nation that we've been blessed to live in. I know there's a whole lot of things wrong with America, but I'll tell you, of all the places on this earth, if I had one to choose to live in, I wouldn't choose anywhere else. I know this, people are trying to break the doors down to get in here. I don't see a whole lot of people being locked in to keep them in, you know. And a lot of nations, they got to shut the doors to keep them from leaving. We are greatly blessed. And I'll tell you, the Lord has blessed America. America ought to praise and bless God, but there is no question that the Lord has already blessed our land and nation, and we should be so thankful for what the Lord has given us. And so much of the time I'm often complaining and I'm falling into that brawler, that complainer, that one that's speaking evil, that, you know, just where I should be just rejoicing in what the Lord. And that doesn't mean we bury our head in the sand and say everything's good when it's not. It doesn't mean we don't stand for the truth. We're obligated to stand for the truth. But it's important not only that we stand for the truth, but that we stand for it in the right way. It's not only that we preach the right message, but we preach it in a way that's honoring and praising unto God. And God didn't tell us to use our preaching as a baseball bat to try to drive someone somewhere. We're to teach God's little children as little lambs and little sheep, and we're to feed them and to nurture them and to care for them as a father would a loving child, or a mother would a little one, and they, not to harm them. Is it important to chasten God's people with the Word of God from time to time? Absolutely. He said that the Word of God is given for reproving. I don't ever remember a time I was reproved as a boy that I found it that pleasant. I can remember a whole time, a lot of time, like I've told y'all before, I'd tell Mama, you know, I'd think to Mama, I'd say, well, if you had a son like so-and-so, you'd be glad to have me as a son. I'd pick out somebody else, you know, and think, boy, y'all just, you'd leave me alone a little bit if you had so-and-so as a son. You know what that meant? That means I didn't know myself very well. Sometimes I think we think about God that way. I hope you don't this afternoon. I hope you feel like the Apostle Paul when he said, I feel to be the chief of sinners. I hope there's no Pharisaical spirit in us to think, well, we're just a little group of old Baptists over here on a Sunday afternoon that just makes us special because of who we are. Listen, I believe the church is special. I believe the old Baptist church is a wonderful, glorious place. I believe it's the kingdom of God. And I love His kingdom. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't for our Savior, this bride would not be pretty. She's washed in His blood. She's clothed. She's given the truth. She's given the light to wear. She's given the truth to proclaim. She's given forgiveness. She has every reason to be feeling what the Apostle Paul said, that I'm the chief among sinners. And oh, how great the Lord has been to me. Can you relate to that little sister that came to the feet of Jesus and washed His feet with her hair and the tears that flowed from her eyes and wiped them with her hair and just was so thankful to even be able to be in the presence of the Lord rather than an old Simon that looked and said, you know, if he knew what manner of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. That's the difference between being here as a Pharisee today and being here as that little woman. And the Scripture will tell us what we are. He just told us. I didn't read any redeeming characteristic in that Titus of what we were, did you? I didn't read anything there. Here's where we are. Just read it. We're foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. And I'm telling you, that's where we would be today and would have continued to be and will be anytime we're leaning on the flesh, because the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you read that list in Galatians, there's not a good thing in that list. The only good that's in us is what the Lord has worked in the Spirit. And we're to work out that which He has worked in. And I got so many fingers in so many different places here, I'm not sure where. Let me get this one. It says over in verse 17 of Galatians 5, He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. God's little children sometimes feels like, well, maybe my regeneration didn't take. Maybe what the Lord did for me is not lasting. And we fear I'm going to fall out. Listen, you're going to have mess ups. There's not one of us who hadn't failed. There's not one of us who strived to walk in at the straight gate that didn't find ourselves at times in the broad way. There's not one of us who stay out of the broad way altogether. But yet we're to get up every day and enter in at the straight gate. It's a daily walk with the Lord. And that means I'm to take His Word and let it be my guide. In order to take His Word to let it be your guide, that means you need to know His Word. That means we need to search His Word. That means we need to study His Word. I would encourage all those that are young and have that quick mind to put as much of this book in memory as you can. I wish I'd have spent more time doing that. One time I'd have thought, well, maybe that's just rote memorization, doesn't matter. I'll tell you, I think it's good activity. I would encourage every little, you know, I try to put a lot in memory now, but I found the memory, I got a hole in my bucket. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I put it in, but it doesn't seem to stay. It just seems to leak out. So I've got to do a whole lot putting in to have it there. And if I don't keep coming and putting it in, then it just keeps leaking out. And there's a lot of things, if it leaks out, I get embarrassed about it. But I'll tell you, this is important. I need the Word of God to direct my life. I need it to be the guide when I get to responding in this world and talking to other people. I need it to be my words. I need it to be what I say. I need it. Otherwise, I know what's going to come out of me. Have you ever just quickly responded without thought and just regret what you said and you just like to pull it back but can't? Now, I also want you to know we can't undo all of that, but we can go to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. And Lord, help me be better. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, not just to men, but in thy sight. O Lord, I acknowledge him as Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the one that was promised from the Old Testament. He's the Jesus. He's the Savior. Jesus means Savior. Christ means he's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our Lord. And if he's our Lord, that means we're his servants. We belong to him. And he's our master. That means what the Lord says, the servant, what the master says, the servant's supposed to do, right? What the Lord has taught us we're supposed to do. That's why he goes on and it gets me back to that verse in Titus where he says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. Have you believed in God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe he made the heavens and the earth? Do you believe he's quickened you and made you alive? Do you believe he's been good to you? He's been good to me in every area of my life. He says that they that which have believed in God might be careful. If we go through life haphazardly and we're careless with our lives, we won't find ourselves. You're just not going to fall into the right way. You'll fall into the broad way. You don't have to do anything to get in the broad way. Just get up and breathe. And you'll walk in the broad way. There are many that find it. There are those who can't see any other way, that don't know there's any other way, who wouldn't believe there was another way. Without the Lord's grace, you can't even know it. You won't know there's a different way. You don't know that there's anything else to do. And wouldn't have any desire for it if someone pointed it out to you. You'd go like, that's a foolish way. That doesn't seem right. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way leadeth unto destruction. That's the broad way. God's little children can walk in that broad way when we just get up haphazardly walk. That's not talking about the broad way that leads to eternal woe. We don't get there through our... That's we don't go to heaven by getting on the right path and us doing... But there's a way to walk in this world close to the Lord. There's a way to walk in this world that where we find rest with him. There's a way to walk in this world where we take... He says to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And that old Broadway, we can get up and walk in that so easily. We're to strive to enter in at the straight gate. There'll be those who strive to enter in, and we come short of it. It's not talking about eternal destiny. It's talking about finding joy and rest and peace as we walk in fellowship with the Lord here in this world. And it's walking in the grace that he's given us. He says in this, he says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. He tells us that's something we're to do. These things are good and profitable unto men. Over in the Ephesian letter, he tells us there in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 10. He says, "For we are His workmanship," that is God who has worked in us. "We are His workmanship, and we were created in Christ Jesus. And we were created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He's prepared us that we should walk in them. We're to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. Means God's little children, we're to be an encouragement one to another, to help one another along the way. Again, we don't drive one another to this. We do it as the Lord gives us grace and strength, and we do it looking unto the Lord. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This is what we ought to be about. This doesn't mean that God's little children can't have a good time and have a smile and share those kinds of things. I love it when we see the friendship and the fellowship among the Lord's people. I heard a brother a long time ago said that the Lord has preserved His people, but by the looks of them, some of them look like they've been preserved in pickle juice because they look so sour. I don't believe Old Baptists ought to be a sour people. I believe, as a matter of fact, I believe we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Blessed are that people that know the joyful sound. They walk in the light of His countenance. I think we have something to be happy about. But we should always be careful that our walk is in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, that we're not walking in a way that we dishonor Him. I kind of think of it in the way of a godly parents that you have, and when many of us will have to remember when we were young people, but we were young people and we walked before our godly parents. I didn't ever want to walk in a way that my dad would be ashamed of what I'd said or what I'd done. Now, I did that a lot of times. Sometimes I know I displeased him, but I knew if he was going to find out about it, I didn't want him to get a bad report. If I was going to be somewhere and they were going to be a report given back, then I want my dad to have a good report. I want my mom to have a good report. I didn't want to walk in a way that I embarrassed them. I knew there were consequences for that, but it wasn't just the fear of those consequences. That had some input to it, but it wasn't just the fear. It was that I just didn't want to displease my mom and dad, who'd been really good to me. Hope you can relate to that. Think about it for a minute, just how good the Lord has been to us. The hymn writer said, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow." Jesus has paid it all for us. Oh, how we ought to live because of that. Not in order to get it to be. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But in order to give Him the praise and the honor and the glory, even while we live here in this world. And I believe that's that straight and that's that narrow way that we're to walk in. It's right here in this world. And it leads to the life abundant. Jesus said, "I came that they might have life," right? But not only life, but life abundant. And I believe there's a life abundant found for God's little children when they walk in that straight and narrow way in obedience to the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I appreciate your kind attention. Thank God for that, my brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayer.